The following podcast is an exclusive presentation of Project Entertainment Network.
Bizarre.
Bazan. Bazan. Bazan.
Bazan. Bazan. Bazan. Bazan. Bazan.
This is Bazong, the Bizarre and Weird Fiction Podcast. With me, your host, Mr. Frank. Welcome back, Zongers, to the big Bazong, Bizarro, and Weird Fiction Show. Glad to have you back, as always. Of course, Zongers, we cannot do Bazong without help from our fine sponsors and the sponsors of the Project Entertainment Network. I, of course, am talking about none other than the legendary Subculture Corsets and Clothing.com, baby. You can shop Subculture Corsets and Clothing online or at their store at the Avenues Mall in Jacksonville, Florida. Or, of course, visit them on the web. www.subculturecourses.com, where you will be able to find the best in rockabilly, steampunk, gothic, pinup, and of course, high quality corsets. Zongers, you'll find it all right there at Subculture Courses, whether you're able to get to them in person or online. And I was checking out subculturecourses.com this week, as I love to do. I love to window shop over there. And look, first of all, Zongers, if you're curious about the corsetry, because, you know, all I know is corsets look good, but I don't know nothing about them. There's a great instructional video of how to lace up your own corset right there on the homepage. It's a little YouTube video. Just go to subculturecourses.com and scroll down a little bit. You'll see the how to put your corset thing on, and it's about a three-minute video that is very, very intriguing to watch, even though I personally have no intention of wearing a corset. The day might come when I'm asked to lace up a young lady's corset or an old lady's corset, and I now will be prepared to do that. So I'm very, very excited, and if you're out there and you need your corset laced up, just don't hesitate to reach out to me, Mr. Frank, and I will be there for you to lace up your corset. But if you watch this video, it's how to do it yourself, so you won't need Mr. Frank's services should you choose not to enlist them. And also, Zongers, at Subculture Corsets, it's not only clothing. They have shoes and accessories as well, and I wanted to spotlight, just like the accessories. You hear accessories, and you think, like, you know, cheesy stuff from Claire's. This is not at all that. Looking through their accessories, the one awesome thing that popped out at me was this Alchemy of England Kraken necklace. Holy mackerel. What a gorgeous piece of jewelry this thing is. It's just all, it's a gorgeous pendant necklace. It's all beautifully artistried, if that's a thing that you can say, but it's all like, it's octopus. It's all tentacles. It's a tentacle necklace with a gorgeous gemstone in the middle, and it's really just an amazing piece of art that you're never going to find at Claire's ever. This is a far better quality piece, and all the accessories at Subculture Corsets, they got chokers and necklaces and pendants. It's amazing. So go shop the store there. Check out their accessories as well as their clothes and corsets. And you won't be disappointed when you shop Subculture and I give you the promotional code BAZONG for an additional 10% off your entire order. So just shop till you drop. Put together a whole ensemble at Subculture Corsets and you will receive 10% off that entire ensemble. Compliments of BAZONG, Subculture Courses, and the Project Entertainment Network. Shop them now, Zongers. And Zongers, this week, Mr. Frank had a lot of stuff going on. As you may be able to hear, I am quite congested. Spring has sprung here in the Northeast. We went from never-ending winter to now spring is here, and it's 80 degrees, and the flowers are exploding pollen all over the place, and thus making Mr. Frank a very miserable boy with my seasonal allergies. So It was a rough week there, and also personally had a death in the family that's put a kibosh on a lot of things, unfortunately. But, that's part of life and all that stuff. So we sally forth, but I just was not able to get my interviews in this week. So we have to wing it this week. A little shortened episode of Bizong, but an episode of Bizong nonetheless. And you just get an extra Jersey nasally Mr. Frank as a result of the season of exploding plant cum. So what I thought I'd do for you this week, Zongers, is, I don't have any little personal things to riff or raff about or anything, so I thought we'd give you something different, some bizarro news, because I always used to love listening to, I don't even know where it was, just, I guess, various news programs that always have a little segment, you know, the weird news, the bizarro news, and of course, out there on the intertubes and in the social mediums, you see little snippets of, quote unquote fake news, but this is like real bizarre news, but it's just offbeat, and it's not anything about world politics and science and technology and the economy and all that. No, this is just weird news. And first of all, where did this happen here? See, the problem with news is that they're all clickbaity. There was a huge 7-foot beast described as half human, half animal that left residents terrified after savaging two dogs. Now, this happened in somebody's backyard, supposedly. This beast, this horrible, terrible beast, just was roaming the neighborhood and messed up his two dogs. Of course, there's grainy footage of the beast, which... like all those trail cam videos of catching the chupacabra and Slenderman and all that stuff. This is in a similar vein, and it really looks like an emaciated mountain lion or something like that, more than a savage beast. It's just a very skinny quadruped, very definite cat-like head, and because it's really, really emaciated, I mean, if you think of like a puma or a mountain lion... With just skin and bones, it's very slender, but then you get down to the paws, and you know, like big cats that size have giant paws, so the paws are still big and large in comparison to its very slender limbs and torso. So it is weird looking, this creature, but I am sure that it is nothing more than a mountain lion of some sort. That's that bit of that's that bit of weird. It's so weird. There's a weird half human, half animal just terrorizing my dogs. Maybe get a bigger dog that won't get eaten. That's my thing. Like, you know, I know all you little dog people out there just hate me now, but I'm not a little dog person. I'm a big dog person. Clear as day, a man captures a knight on horseback after flying his new drone at the 11th century castle. Now, if you've all been to the 11th century castle, maybe you didn't need a drone to see a knight on horseback, but this man at the 11th century castle, Mr. Thomas Arnold is his name, was spooked when he spotted the apparition galloping through a Berkeley castle. It's not the 11th century castle, as the headline would lead you to believe. It is the Berkeley castle. He shot it when the drone mysteriously lost contact for 10 seconds. Because as you know, mysterious knights on horseback, ghost knights, if you will, have amazing radar jamming capability, legendary for blocking out drones where they cannot at all communicate with their master controller. So this is what happened. This guy, it's not weird at all that the man caught a knight on horseback, a ghost knight at the 11th century castle. It's weird that after 10 seconds he was able to recover full control of his craft and see the knight, because knights on horseback, ghost knights on horseback, are notorious for jamming radar on drones. So that's why that story is weird.
This is a fancy hotel.
Oh shit. God only knows what goes on with these clickbaity. Anything could happen, Zongers. This is This is the Anything Can Happen show. I'm clicking on things that I probably shouldn't be. And after the show, the Bazan computer will be completely infected with clickbait malware. Okay, so we move on with lots of news out of the England area. With the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge secretly treated themselves to after the birth of George. Is this going to be one of them placenta-eating things? Like they ate the future king of England's placental leavings? Is that what's going on here, Zongers? I'm going to be honest with you. I really hate this news site that I'm culling my weird news from. It's far too clickbaity. Too much junk is popping up. There's questions and everything. The royal couple stayed overnight at St. Mary's and hankered for a certain dish. Really, I am 1,000 different windows and pieces of information and all those little clickbait side ads so they can get paid their money from a ding dong like myself clicking on this freaking shit. But I'm going to get to the bottom of this story. We're going to see if we ate placental leavings or not after birth, Zongers. There's not enough afterbirth stories in Bizarro, is there? You would think, possibly, that there'd be a lot more afterbirth shit going on in Bizarro and Weird Fiction, but, man, I have not read it. Not at all. You see, now I clicked on something thinking it would lead me somewhere to get to the bottom. Mr. Frank, your cover reporter, digging deep, investigative reporting on what the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge secretly treated themselves to. After the birth of George, we're really not getting much of anywhere. I could tell you that after losing 220 pounds, Precious is now gorgeous. I don't know who Precious is, Zongers. I'm terribly off on my pop culture. She's not Boo 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 Boo, is she? Boo Boo, Honey Boo Boo. Mom gives birth to 7 babies. Is this something? It could be something. Okay, here we go. Any day now, the Duchess of Cambridge will safely be ensconced in the luxurious confines of the private Lido wing at St. Mary's. There, she'll be able to enjoy the perks, which come with paying upwards of £5,900 for a birth package. Maybe that's code for placental leavings. Perks such as art installations, a glass of champers waiting for you once the baby has arrived, and a chef-made food. Well, that's not a big deal. Beside the culinary delights in offer, when Kate gave birth to Prince George, she hankered after something a little less fancy, like placental leavings. While Kate was in and out of hospital the same day with Princess Charlotte, things took a little longer with George. There's a picture of the couple waving, happy, holding a baby in her hands. Perhaps that is the sacrificial baby and not their baby that they will be eating. The Duchess labored. And now you know this is British because labored is spelled with the weird U that us Americans are just incapable of wrapping our minds around. For 11 hours, she labored and stayed overnight in the Lido, not the Lido. The Lido is the deck on the ship where we all do the cha-cha and the merengue. This is the Lido wing of St. Mary's. When you've just delivered the future King of England, you probably need to get your strength back. Yes, with placental leavings, I'm sure, Zongers. So instead of any food available in the Lido wing or the Lido deck, Kate and William opted for a takeaway pizza. This is as reported by Pop Sugar. This is, breaking news. This is not the King and Queen or Prince and Princess of England eating placental afterbirth. This is a big, giant, weird news story. This is so weird. The king and queen are the prince and princess of England, after the birth of their son, the future king of England, opted to get pizza. How are we let down? This is not good. This is not good at all, Zongers. I think I need to change my news sources, because this is really dumb. I'm not going to lie. This is dumb news. Pizza? They want to eat pizza after having a baby? That's not weird. Let's call Friday night. Okay, so, all right. Let's switch up news sources here. Here's a different news source that says New Yorkers report tiger on the loose in the city. New York City, 8:30 in the morning, 911 caller reported a tiger roaming the streets of Harlem. Panicked New Yorkers went inside and took to Twitter. The New York Police Department dispatched officers to the scene only to discover the tiger was not a tiger. It was a big raccoon. In their defense, some New Yorkers have pointed out that both animals do have stripes. This is true. This is true. And really, for New Yorkers, how often do they get to see tigers? I mean, this is in Harlem, not too far from the Bronx Zoo. Maybe a tiger got out of the Bronx Zoo. I remember a few years back, the New Yorkers went nuts. There was a coyote roaming Central Park. They freaked out. How does a coyote, they only live in Arizona and chase roadrunners. But it was indeed a coyote, which are every fucking where. And it just crossed George Washington Bridge. The most notable part of that story, Zongers, was they hit the coyote up for the $72 toll when it crossed the George Washington Bridge. Brum-bum. Let's come back and check out some more weird news from our new weird news stores. Police blame mice for missing marijuana. The marijuana. Police officers were fired in Argentina. Now, you know, I love and respect Argentinians. So this is unfortunate that this news piece is just going to reflect the people of Argentina. In my weird news piece here, several officers were fired in Argentina after blaming mice for eating hundreds of pounds of marijuana that was missing from a police warehouse. Experts say mice would not see it as food. A half a ton of marijuana went missing from a police warehouse in Argentina. The pot had been impounded there for a couple of years, but a recent inspection showed that the inventory was off. Eight police officers have been fired since. Their explanation, they say the pot was eaten by mice. Forensics experts say mice can tell the difference between pot and food, and would have ingested a half ton of, would not have ingested a half ton of marijuana. And while we're at it, the dog probably didn't eat your homework either. So isn't that weird news? Isn't that so weird? This is really kind of getting disappointing. That it's not like, I want some like, what's the Weekly World News, the Bat Boy stuff. So let's see what we could call here. A drunk tourist climbs a mountain. That's not going to be fun. Even trade car for candy. Sounds like some kids toucher stuff. The company that makes NECA wafers may be closing. Well, let's cover it because we all know and love NECA wafers, right? The company that makes NECA wafers may be closing. A 123-year-old candy fan offered her car for the company's stock of candy. The company that makes NECA wafers, those chalky fruit-flavored discs that have divided candy lovers for years. There's no division. NECA wafers are pretty damn delicious, especially when you're a mouse and eat a half a ton of marijuana. And some NECA lovers are losing it. In a moment of desperation, 23-year-old Katie Samuels made an offer to a candy wholesaler, her 2003 Honda Accord, for their entire stock of NECA. "I've got this car. I want all the candy," she said. The wholesaler said no. She did get her NECA in the end. She charged it to her credit card. So, I don't know. Why were people all... See, this story doesn't make sense. Why are we all getting worked up that NECA wafer's going to go away because she offered her car to a wholesaler? Not even like NECA. She offered it to a wholesaler. They're really, really stretching the news here to make it weird. That's what you do when you're a national news outlet and you're trying to make something out of nothing. So you get the weird news beat and you have to get these like just mundane stories and stretch the truth out. A flock of seagulls and pepperoni. All right, we'll do this one based solely on the headline, and then if this doesn't pan out correct, we're going to, once again, change news sources. A flock of seagulls and pepperoni. a man with a suitcase of pepperoni was staying at a Canadian hotel in 2001. So this news is only 17 years old. The hotel didn't have a refrigerator, so he left it near an open window, only to return to a flock of seagulls and a mess. I do wonder if this is double entendre for the 80s supergroup Flock of Seagulls getting caught eating pepperoni because he left it there, and they're just old and irrelevant no more, and they don't have money, and so they're raiding refrigerators at Canadian hotels. Nick Burchill was staying at a hotel in British Columbia. He bought a delicacy from his hometown of Halifax, Chris Brothers Pepperoni. You all know Chris Brothers Pepperoni. Amazing British Columbian pepperoni zongers. His room didn't have a fridge, so he left the meat next to an open window and went for a walk. Dun, dun, dun. When he got back, his room was full of seagulls devouring the pepperoni. They trashed the room, and the hotel banned him. Last week, he went back to apologize. 17 years later, and the hotel lifted the ban, but he might want to leave his snacks at home. That's so weird, zongers. So weird. He left the window open, and seagulls came in, and nobody expects the flock of seagulls. Yeah, zongers, time to change my weird news source. Let's see what we can get here. Okay, I got this one. This one could get dated. This is a little more of a clickbaity type of site, once again. So things could get weird here as I go through the weird news. My dude, Kenneth, accidentally took a $1,600 Uber ride. Accidentally. Let's see what's up with my dude, Kenneth. My greatest friend, whom I've never met, drunkenly took a $1,635.93 Uber ride from West Virginia to New Jersey last weekend. All great stories end in New Jersey, zongers. This, I can assure you. After a night of partying with friends near West Virginia University, all great stories begin at West Virginia University, zongers. Kenneth ordered an Uber XL, what a guide, top notch all the way, to his home over 300 miles away, a decision that, according to a Philadelphia CBS affiliate, he doesn't quite recall making. Now, my question is, you're partying in West Virginia and you're going home, how did you get there, right? Were you just in school in West Virginia and you were so drunk you said, take me home to Jersey? This could be actually what happened. It's not funny. It just could be reality. From there, Kenneth completed his $1,635.93 journey home. One small silver lining, it was a five-hour trip, so at least my dude Kenneth enjoyed a much-needed nap. Other than that, it's like, Kenneth, come on. What else is there to say? Oh, my God. No word on if he had to pay the fare or not. You have to pay the fare. You made somebody drive from West Virginia to New Jersey. Now, I've done this. I have driven from West Virginia to New Jersey. It is an unpleasant ride. There's the interstate is very windy and very long. The interstate follows basically the border between West Virginia and Virginia, which is a very long and winding border. It's not straight, and it's certainly not short. So that's a crucial part of any journey to New Jersey is the border interstate run from West Virginia to New Jersey. If that's what happened, grueling, and that Uber driver didn't earn nearly enough money for that ride, I'm sure. And he probably had a deadheaded back, and that sucks too, to be honest with you. Not getting your money back, or you have to do little runs from Trenton to Philadelphia and then Philadelphia to South Philadelphia, stuff like that. It would have sucked getting back. Speaking of New Jersey zongers, Chris Christie is the first elected New Jersey governor in decades who didn't break a leg during his term. This is almost like, does anybody remember the old presidential curse where every 20 years the president who was basically elected in a year ending in zero wound up assassinated right through until Well, Ronald Reagan half broke the curse in 1980. He had an assassination attempt, but survived it. And then 2000, we had George W. Bush, who, I mean, everybody wanted to kill him, but nobody tried. So that curse is officially broken for now. But it did go way back. If you look at all the presidents ending zero, I think Abraham Lincoln can be counted among them. For New Jersey Governor Chris Christie left office yesterday. This is a bit of an old news, with a truly dismal approval rating. On the bright side, he also left with two intact legs. An Obama administration alum, Eric Columbus, pointed out on Twitter Tuesday, Christie is the first elected governor in decades to leave office without having broken a leg. We don't mean in the break a leg metaphorical way either. We mean literally sustaining harm to one's leg bone. In 1999, this is clickbaity shit jumping on. In 1999, then Governor Christie Todd Whitman broke both bones in her lower right leg, while Senator Jim McGreevy broke his leg after a fall in Cape May, prompting days of wild rumors and conspiracy theories about what I have no idea. In 2007, Jim Corzine broke his leg in a car crash. He broke his sternum, collarbone, and several ribs as well. Oh, I remember that one, Zongers. He was speeding up the New Jersey Turnpike or Parkway, speeding on his motorcade, and he had no seatbelt on or anything, and he was thrown and badly hurt. As he said, sterile collarbone, ribs, legs, and of course, New Jersey gave him shit for handing out seatbelt tickets to everybody else while he was flying up the Garden State Parkway doing 107 and no seatbelt on him. So it's like, ha-ha. So that guy was an asshole, as most politicians, especially in New Jersey. Because the universe is perfect, Columbus pointed out, the Democrats broke their left legs and the Republicans broke their right leg. Interesting trend. And while Christie didn't break a bone himself, he did shift that burden to the former Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno. She broke her wrist and elbow while riding a bicycle on the beach. 2014, you should not ride your bicycle on the beach. It's difficult. Or you have to get them big tires. So no wonder she hurt herself. So did Christie break the curse? Maybe. But given his track record, we'd still recommend that incoming Governor Phil Murphy avoid sports. Talk about weird news. Phil Murphy, the current governor in Jersey, has about the most bizarro smile in politics today. He when he smiles, I'm frightened, just literally frightened. They could make a horror movie out of Phil Murphy's smile. It's very disturbing, very, very disturbing. I'd advise you go on Twitter or something to just search Phil Murphy's smile, but don't. It's fucking scary. Moving on to further weird news here, Zongers, covering the weirdest in the weird news. Sorry to dump on you, but another mad pooper is on the loose. This is a good one, Zongers. If this one ain't good, then none of them are good. And so far, none of them have really been good. Nothing's been weird. Oh, crap. Police in one New York village are searching for yet another mad pooper. We can't go wrong. We're going to end on this one, Zongers. The mad pooper story. An unidentified person is currently on a pooping spree in Orchard Park. Orchard Park, New York, that is. Per the New York Daily News, multiple homeowners have allegedly noticed human feces suddenly appearing on their lawns. According to the Buffalo News, now this is going, we're going from the Daily News to the Buffalo News. Buffalo is nowhere near Orchard Park, New York, I think. Or maybe it is. Maybe it's the New York Daily News that's no longer near Orchard Park, New York. I don't know. Bad with my New York geography. One person even filed a police report. And a concerned townsperson went so far as to take out an ad in the Orchard Park Penny Saver, a tome of advertising and community reach out in the Orchard Park area, I'm sure. A free community periodical. This is how they're able to afford sending out their free periodical. They have people taking out ads about mad poopers in their Penny Saver. To the person, the ad read, to the person who is pooping on our lawns in the village of OP. You down with OP? Yeah, you know me. Stop, the person wrote. Here's an actual photo of it that you can't see because this is a podcast. It says to the person slash jogger who is pooping on our lawns in the village of OP, stop. You are violating a health ordinance that prohibits depositing untreated sewage on land or water. Now, this mad pooper, I sure was not aware of that ordinance, that health ordinance, and was like, oh, snap, I better not poop on people's lawns now. I did not know that depositing untreated sewage on land or water is a violation of a health ordinance in OP. You are putting our neighborhood at a serious health risk, especially children. Because if there's one thing we all know about children, zongers, it's that they just stick their nose in grass and run around like little lawnmowers, just eating bugs and untreated human sewage. We have installed trail cams to identify you. We, the people of we have installed trail cams on lawns. That would make them lawn cams, right? This is where we get all the fucking Slender Man and Chupacabra and lich pictures that show up in the night when animals of weird sizes and shapes and emaciation wander up at odd angles and the camera snaps and we find it odd that it's just a squirrel. We just blow it up to make it look gigantic and then send it to newspapers so Mr. Frank can report there's a chupacabra. Well, because a mad pooper's on the loose in Orchard Park, New York. We have installed trail cams to identify you. The Orchard Park police are increasing patrols in our area. The homeowners whose property you invaded. Now, if me personally, if I was a mad pooper, I would be scared shitless, zongers. I would have no shit left to shit upon your lawn from this fearsome ad that was angrily wove a proverbial finger in my face in the free penny saver. I would stop in my pooping tracks and now I will further deposit my here forward. I will deposit my raw human sewage that is untreated in the toilet where it can then travel through the municipality's service plumbing and into the county waste facility where it can be treated properly, spread out on a farm somewhere to grow some tomatoes that we'll all love and enjoy on our McDonald's hamburger in a couple of months. The ad also states that the homeowner had installed trail cams. We imagine this would be the strongest deterrent of all. To get a citation is one thing, but to have your defecation caught on camera seems bad. Well, this pooper might not be a copycat pooper, per se. The crimes do resemble those of the infamous Colorado Springs mad pooper. In September, that jogger defecated numerous times outside one family's home, eschewing the gas stations and public park restrooms nearby. Eventually, a man claiming to represent the pooper's family apologized for her actions, attributing her actions to the traumatic brain injury. He also alleged that her right to poop in people's yards was protected under the First Amendment, which is absolutely not true. But wouldn't it be lovely if it could be true? Stay out safe out there, Orchard Park, and when you check the trail cam footage, brace yourselves for the shit you might find. There it is, Mad Pooper on Loose, Orchard Park, New York. This concludes your weird news on Bazong this week. Zongers, I didn't even pick up on it at first because it said, dear Mad Pooper slash jogger. It's joggers are out? You think their joggers are good people out there running, trying to keep themselves healthy, you know? They're just out there running and taking their pulses and eating fiber. Maybe that's it. They eat so much fiber that they just can't hold it. It's poopers. Poopers are joggers. Joggers are the problem. Maybe we're going to have to look into joggers. See this right here. This, everybody says, you know, there's no room for poop in Bizarro. But come on. Joggers, you'll like, please curb your jogger. That's a Bizarro story right there, zongers. So I'm going to leave all you fine zongers with that bit of Bizarro news here on Bazong this week. We will be back with some really fantastic interviews I got lined up. I got lined up some some really cool ass names, bringing back a couple people, talking to some new people here in the near future. So brace yourselves. Thanks for hanging out with Mr. Frank today on this foreshortened episode of Bazong. I hope, at the very least, we all had a chuckle somehow, right? That's all Mr. Frank can provide you in the end. But if you love this episode, make sure you share it out there on the Twitters and the Facebooks and comment. All that stuff is really great. It's helping lift the voice of Bazong out there. Our episodes are getting so much attention, and I really appreciate every Zonger out there who keeps listening week after week doing their thing. The magnificent James Herbert out there doing Mr. Frank animations of me holding a turkey and debating, having inner monologue debate over the pronunciation of nihilism or nihilism. He got the joke and it made an animation of it. He's knocking it out of the park. James Herbert, super Zonger out there. So keep doing God's work, Zongers. Keep doing God's work and help us spread the word of Bazong. So you are now free to go and listen to these other great Project Entertainment Network podcasts.
You're listening to American Top 40. More tragedy in the news today. Kim Kardashian has a new baby.
What the hell? There's nothing good to listen to.
The price is wrong.
Hey, wait, what's this?
You gotta roll that out.
See, it makes me do weird things and I like it.
God damn it.
I'd be going down on myself.
Shit.
Hey guys, it's Bill,
Mick,
Maya,
and Junior
from the Unsupervised Podcast.
Check us out every Thursday on the Project Entertainment Network.
Take a break from the stress of the world and come have a laugh with or at us.
Bill.
May I have your attention for the morning announcement? Please be advised the Lunch Ladies Book Club is coming to Project Entertainment Network. Join Shelley, Mimsy, and Ashley as they dish out a deep review of a book. Horror. Thrillers. Whatever they want to read and review. A blonde, a brunette, and a redhead walk into a bookstore and they're serving up hot book reviews. The Lunch Ladies Book Club, coming soon, exclusively on Project Entertainment Network. Would you now stand for the national anthem?
Don't get your lunch money stolen!
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Project Entertainment Network.